Welcome to the B'nai B'rith International Podcast. I'm CEO Dan Mariashen. Thank you for tuning in today. A little bit of housekeeping before we get started. Be sure to visit our website, b'naibrith.org, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. The easiest way to get the latest episode is to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play on your smartphone. I'm joined today by Alan Schneider, director of our World Center in Jerusalem, and Avraham Huli, B'nai B'rith Israel's International Vice President. Today, we'll be talking about the phenomenon of Jews having rescued other Jews during the Holocaust. Many of these stories have remained largely unknown until now. We'll also be talking about it as far as a film that's currently in production that focuses specifically on Jewish rescuers. We'll discuss the film's target audience, its funders, and the stories that the film will be sharing about Jewish rescuers. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Alan, we'll start with you. To your best estimate, how widespread was the phenomenon of Jewish rescue of Jews during the Holocaust?
Well, Dan, from the research that we've done, it seems that Jews were involved in rescuing fellow Jews during the Holocaust in every country in Europe, including Germany. In fact, we have presented our Jewish rescuers' citation to rescuers from Germany, France, Hungary, Greece, Slovakia, Yugoslavia, Russia, Poland, Ukraine, Belarus, Latvia, Italy, Austria, Lithuania, and Holland. This is a program that we've been conducting since 2011, and until now, the citation has been presented to 200 Jewish rescuers in those countries that I mentioned. So it was a very widespread phenomena of differing levels in different countries, and as the situation changed for Jews across Europe, with different laws that were enacted against them, different actions that were taken by the Nazis and their helpers against the Jews.
Why do you think these stories of heroism have remained largely unknown?
Well, I think there was somewhat of a reluctance to toot our own horn. I think from the 1950s, when Yad Vashem was established, it engaged most of its efforts in finding and recognizing non-Jewish rescuers, people who are known as the righteous among the nations. And that, in fact, is codified in the Yad Vashem law as one of the areas, one of the responsibilities of Yad Vashem. And that's where the focus was put. And there was, I think, a sense, perhaps, that Jews, you know, could not have possibly rescued fellow Jews in the terrible circumstances that they found themselves in. Many of the rescuers who survived were not quick to tell their stories for various reasons. And I think these were part of the reasons that that these stories remain largely unknown until recently.
Now, you and some like-minded folks decided to do something about it. So tell us about the committee that you've organized in Israel to engage in this worldwide program of recognition.
Yes, well, the initiative to establish the committee to recognize the heroism of Jewish rescuers during the Holocaust, of which I'm a founding member and an activist in today, the initiative was made by Chaim Roth. Chaim is a survivor from Holland, and he was rescued by the Dutch underground as a child, and he was actually rescued by a team that consisted of two non-Jews and one Jew, and the non-Jewish rescuers were recognized by Yad Vashem. In fact, came to Israel and received the Righteous Among the Nations citation at Yad Vashem, and the Jewish member of that group was here as well on that occasion, was invited on that occasion, but received no recognition. And years later, Chaim remembered that when Professor Bauer, a very well-known Israeli historian of the Holocaust, when he, at one of his lectures, he told the story of some Jewish rescuers and said, as an aside, that it's very common or likely among the Jews that we have forgotten the Jewish rescuers, and that we have only, you know, to date, recognized the non-Jewish rescuers. And Chaim was at that lecture, and actually, he tells me that, you know, that's when he started thinking about his own experience and of his own rescuers, and the fact that that only the two non-Jews had been recognized, and he felt that it was time to go back and to give the recognition due to his own rescuer and to other Jewish rescuers who he knew had been engaged in assisting and saving other Jews. And in fact, we're very gratified that we were able to present a Jewish rescuer citation to his rescuer, who still lives actually in Amsterdam at a very advanced age. But Chaim traveled, after we established that program of Jewish rescuer citation, Chaim traveled especially to Amsterdam to present the citation to him at a surprise birthday party. So that was very, very gratifying.
Well, it must have been an emotional moment, I'm sure. Avraham, how did the idea come about to make a film about Jewish rescuers?
When I met Chaim Roth first, was in the year 1986 when I was in Motorola, and beside of the specific issue that we talked in those meetings, he told me about what Ellen just told you, and I kept it in my mind, and many years I didn't use it. And in the year 2006, when I joined a lodge of a B'nai B'rit, I heard that there is a project of JRJ, and then I kept on even this thing in my mind. Only in the year 2013, I heard a presentation of somebody who said that the Greek Jewish people, after the war, they were very brave. And this was amazing to me, because I have roots from Greece. And I met her after the meeting, and I asked her, what you know about the bravery of and heroism of Greek Jews? And she said, I'm not familiar with details in Greece. I am familiar with other countries, but if you want to know, you should contact Moshe Elion. Moshe Elion was a boy in the age of 15 when he was in Auschwitz. And when he came to Israel, he established the community or the group for all the people who were survivors from Greece and came to Israel. So I called him and I said, Moshe Elion, do you know something about people from Greece, Jewish, that they rescued other Jews? He said, I can give you one name and let's see what can happen. And he gave me the name of Jacob Maestro, Jacquito. And I said, okay, what do you know about him? He said, go to the office of the that we have in Tel Aviv, and they will open you the file of Jacob Maestro when he came to Israel. And then he started to be a member of this group. And then in this file, there were some testimonies that people wrote over the years about the fact that he saved them. So I collected all those evidences, sent to Ellen. Ellen, with the judging committee, he said, oh, this is a very, very good evidences, but you need to find the family. And I found the family. And then he got the citation. After that, In the year 2015, I had the other one, a boxer, Jacques Corazon, and 1 year later, another two ladies, which one of them was the sister of Jacob Maestro, Esther Maestro. And when I finished those four, I said to myself then that maybe I will do a small film for the community of the Greek people. And then I started to work and started to interview Chaim Roth and Ellen Schneider and Hannah Arnon and also Moshe Elyon and also Noah Flieger, which is very, very famous journalist that has been saved by a Greek boxer, Jacques Corazon. And I went to a director of documentary films that I knew her a few years before, and I asked her if she can make a small film for the Greek community. And we started to work, but very fast then I understood that this is very, very limited, because I cannot mention do a film without mentioning the committee of Chaim Roth, the committee or the B'nai B'rit World Center. So I told this to my friend from Motorola, and he said, I have a story from Poland. And then he said, let's do a big film, not short one. And then we asked the director of the film, and she said, okay, but it's more expensive. And we said, okay, let's go, and we signed the contract. And in this way, when we understood that this film must be very, very accurate with facts, we asked an historian, Professor Gideon Greif, to join our team, and he is doing it voluntarily since then, and that's the idea of the film.
Now, the film is in production. I did have the opportunity in Prague some months ago when you showed some of the film to us. The interesting thing to me is, how are you going to tell these stories? Are you taking testimonies from the rescuers, taking testimony from those who were rescued? What is the format here?
Right. Okay. We signed the contract in 2016 in December, and it should go in February 2019 to premiere. It means maybe plus minus month or two. Now most of the work is to interview those who rescue, if they are alive, like in Netanya, Ines, or others, and some people from the family that they know the story, but unfortunately the rescuer passed away. So we are collecting from rescuers and from those who have been rescued by them. So this is a combination, and we did some flights to Europe, to Paris and to Prague and to Poland, Auschwitz, Krakow and Warsaw, and also to Greece, Thessaloniki, Athens, Larissa, Volos. In Volos, for instance, there is a story about Rabbi, that he had an agreement, and by that agreement he convinced people around Volos to hide the Jewish people till the war will be finished. And out of 800 people, in that way he saved a life of 600.
Avram, have you found a lot of support for the project? Certainly, you're looking for funding. This is such a unique subject. Has that resonated as you go around and look for support for the film?
The budget for the film, as we see it today, is about $80,000, as I presented in Prague. In that time, we collected around 51, and today we have 56, so we still miss $24,000, but we have enough today to continue the process. In May, the director with the photographer will go to Budapest to film there some testimonies or some places where people rescue Jews. So till today, this is the situation.
What is the what's the target audience for this? This film will be another resource in terms of Holocaust education. But where do you see the film being shown? What's your objective in terms of bringing this message and this great story of these of the rescue of the Jews by Jews to others?
Right. In one word, is the education system. It means somebody needs to decide in which age it's okay to show this movie to age of 10 or 12, but this is the education system. Then to convince universities to show it to students, and also to delegations, that there are many, many delegations going to Poland and to Auschwitz and to the other camps before they go. So we started already to make a connection with the head of the guides that take those delegations, so they can also see it, and some other cinema places if they are interested.
Alan, what other events are you planning, your committee, to promote the legacy of the Jewish rescuers?
Well, we have an annual event, a very large event that takes place on Holocaust and Heroes Commemoration Day here in Israel. And we hold that event at the B'nai B'rith Martyrs Forest, which is a forest of 6 million trees planted by B'nai B'rith and the Jewish National Fund in the 1950s. It's actually the very first site in Israel to commemorate the 6 million Jews who perished during the Holocaust. And it's in the Jerusalem Hills, and on the top of one of those hills, B'nai B'rith installed in 1974 the Scroll of Fire, which is a very evocative statue, a monument. And that's where we do this event with about 1,000 people in attendance. Including soldiers, students, in pre-army programs, and of course many rescuers and families of rescuers. This year, just a few weeks ago, when we marked Yom HaShoah, we had the ceremony as we have done in the last 16 years, and this year we focused on the Jewish resistance in France, which is very, very active and helped to rescue 3/4 of French Jews during the Holocaust. They had a very active role in doing that, along, of course, with many righteous among the nations who have been recognized for their heroism. But there were about 700 Jews who were members of 10 different Jewish underground organizations that came together and coordinated their activities in the Jewish underground in France. About 200 of them were killed in action, either in fighting, armed action against the Germans and French collaborators, or while they were attempting to rescue fellow Jews. And we had the honor of presenting our Jewish rescuer citation to over 20 members of the underground or their families. Most of them are no longer alive. As I mentioned, some of them were killed in action, and we had families from over 20 Jewish rescuers, members of the French Jewish underground, who were in the forest together with us and were recognized with the Jewish rescuer citation. So this is our major event every year, and plans already going forward for next year's event. And in the course of the year, we also hold a number of events where we present the citation, and we've done this, for example, in New York a number of times. As you know, there was about a year and a half ago, a big event in Paris where other members of the Jewish underground in France were recognized, and this will be featured, I think, in the film, because the Avraham's crew was there in Paris, and in fact, met with some of the rescuers themselves, who were in very advanced age. Some of them were over 100 years old, actually. And so for us to be able to present and to honor them with our citation was very meaningful, to get them on camera and be able to interview them. Some of them, unfortunately, have passed away, actually, just since since they were filmed. These are the kind of events that we hold in the course of the year.
What's interesting to me, really, is that 72, 73 years after the Holocaust, we're constantly learning, not only this particular project, which, of course, is of special interest to us because of the Jewish rescuer of Jewish component, but there are so many other things that we're discovering each day, each year, about events during that tremendously dark and tragic period. So I would close, Alan, with this question to you. Why is it important to delve into this chapter of Holocaust historiography? What's the message here for all of us in our community and beyond?
Well, Dan, I think first of all it's important to set the record straight. For example, we have asked Yad Vashem to add on their website and in the database when there are recognition of rights among the Gentiles, and in many cases, where Jews were involved in those rescue efforts and endangered themselves in order to make it possible for the non-Jews to engage in their rescue efforts, that the historical record be corrected and that the Jews be mentioned in the context of those rescue efforts, of that historical narrative. So I think, first of all, it's I think very important for us as Jews to know that it was not only the Gentiles and the members of the nations that were engaged in rescuing Jews, but the Jews were intimately involved, risked their lives in order to rescue fellow Jews, and did not sit idly by and large, when they had the opportunity to rescue fellow Jews. I mean, it's something important for us to know, and for the Jewish communities and also the young people to know. Now, a lot of our efforts are focused on young people because most of the rescuers at the time were very young. They're people in their teens, in their early 20s, who had the wherewithal to engage in some of these very, very daring episodes and attempts to rescue others. So I think it has a particularly an important resonance among for young Jews. We're commanded to have the interests of fellow Jews in our minds, and we can point to examples, outstanding examples, like these heroes. I think that it serves as a great example for all Jews that Jews did not go like sheep to the slaughter, as has been, unfortunately, I think, was the term that we were most used to hearing for many decades. But these cases show that was not the case, definitely not in all circumstances, but that there were many who went beyond on the call of duty, endangering themselves in Germany and across occupied Europe to rescue fellow Jews.
Thank you very much. Alan Schneider, director of the B'nai B'rith World Center in Jerusalem, Avraham Huli, B'nai B'rith Israel's international vice president. Thank you for the work that you're doing in this very, very important chapter of Holocaust history and Jewish history. Thank you for joining us today. Well, that's all the time we have for today's podcast. Please visit our website, B'nai B'rith.org, like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter. Subscribe on your smartphone through the podcast app for iPhone or through Google Play for Android. And lastly, tell a friend about us. For my guests, Alan Schneider and Avraham Huli, I'm Dan Mary Ashen. We'll talk to you next time on the B'nai B'rith International Podcast.